West Coast College Training, July 4th through 11th, Occidental, California. Title, Christ Our Portion. Morning Session 1, Message 4, Learning to Persevere in Prayer. Scripture Reading, Colossians 4, 2-4.
Everyone open up the Word to Colossians chapter 4, verses 2-4. We'll be getting into message 4 on page 37, so also do all your clicking on your notebooks. You need to get your outline out, take care of it now. So Colossians chapter 4, verses 2-4. Okay, we'll start again with this message with the Word of God. And I'm thinking we can read it. And maybe a part of it in a released way. How about we pray read a little bit together, okay? Amen. You got it? Colossians chapter 4, verses 2-4. Let's read it together. With a strong exercise spirit. Amen.
Persevere.
Amen. Now, how about we just take a little time together corporately and let's release our spirit over verse 2, okay? Very good. Maybe stand up in groups and declare and pray, okay? Amen. Persevere in prayer.
Amen.
Watching in it.
Amen. Watching in it.
Amen. Watching in it.
Amen.
Watching in it.
Watching in it.
Amen.
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 With thanksgiving.
Amen.
With thanksgiving.
Amen.
With thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Isn't it so good being here in the college training? Oh, what a blessing. The Lord has been opening to us this all-inclusive Christ, who is everything. The unlimited Christ. And He has been helping us to enjoy Him in so many rich aspects. Don't you just sense the Lord's blessing is here?
Amen.
The rich grace is being poured out. And it's so easy to enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
And, you know, as is being brought out already, you know, some are concerned that, oh, this top enjoyment, this rich enjoyment, this atmosphere that we're enjoying up here, when I go back down, go back to my locality, back to my campus, I'm afraid I'm going to lose it all. And brothers and sisters, this message is really key. This is really key. How can we maintain and preserve the grace that the Lord is pouring out in us right now? It is by our persevering in prayer. Our prayer is a key, is a factor that can help us preserve this enjoyment that we are enjoying right now. And so this is how I like to open up this outline and get into this matter of persevering in prayer. So if you look at this message, how about we go ahead and read the title. Let's do the overarching title and then the title below that, okay? Together. Learning to live
in union with Christ.
Learning
to persevere in prayer.
Amen. So a key word again here is learning. Brothers and sisters, we're here learning. And the message this morning is on persevering in prayer. Now let's read Roman numeral 1, okay? A life
of being one with Christ, allowing His peace to arbitrate within us, and letting His presence
pay attention to that word, sustained. So this message is connected with the others. In our relation to our learning to live in union with Christ, we saw that we need to let the peace of Christ to arbitrate in our heart. And then we need to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. And then we see that we need to set our mind on the things which are above. And in this morning is that we need to persevere, is the word. Persevere in prayer. By persevering in prayer, are we able to sustain such a living that expresses Christ? And so, you know, this matter of persevering in prayer has been touched, if you remember on Wednesday, on the matter of the gospel, in the twos and threes, we need to persevere in prayer. And I'd just like to open it, you know, with prayer is there's two main aspects. One is there is the prayer of intercession, in which we join with the interceding Christ and we pray for the Lord's move on the earth. And this prayer is key as a starting point for us to be prevailing and effective in the gospel. And there is the aspect personally we pray in this way before the Lord, but then also corporately, more effectively corporately in our twos and threes and with the church to pray for the Lord's move. But then there's another aspect, and that is the prayer of fellowship. And this aspect of prayer is that we contact the living God. And we get infused with Him. We absorb Him. We get mingled with Him. We get filled with Him. And this is for our Christian living. This is for us to live Christ. We get filled with Christ as life. And so this is also both personal and corporate. A lot of our enjoyment corporately is a prayer fellowship. We're contacting the Lord. We're enjoying Him. Getting filled with the triune God. But then there's also the personal aspect. Is that personally, we all need to have a time of contacting the Lord. And that's what the burden here is this morning. Is our personal prayer life. And as I was getting into this, there is a burden, brothers and sisters, including myself. The Lord is burdened for our prayer life. How is your prayer life with the Lord? The Lord wants to, and I realize again and again, that our personal prayer life with the Lord is the building blocks to everything in our Christian life and everything in the church life. If we don't have a built-up prayer life with the Lord, our Christian life can just be a mere shell with no content of reality. It's possible for us to be outwardly in the church life, going to meetings and doing the thing. But if we do not have this prayer life with the Lord, it can be just a mere shell with no reality. Right? So this is a very basic building block for us, is to have a healthy prayer life with the Lord. And so this is what we're touching. When we're talking about persevering in prayer, we're talking about building up our prayer life. So now I'll get into it, and there's some points and fellowship we'll bring out. Okay, so let's look at point A. Amen. Let's read it together. Two. Amen. Philippians 1:21a says, "For me to live is Christ." And the key point here is that in order to live Christ, we have to persevere in prayer. If we do not have the prayer life, we cannot live Christ. This is a very strong and emphatic point, very enlightening. And how about this? We'll just kind of walk through here. Let's look at point one. How about sisters, point one? It's very good. It gives us a definition of what it is to persevere in prayer. And these three words, persistently, steadfastly, and earnestly. And I did a Google search. I looked it up. What does persistent mean? And there are a couple of definitions I like. Continuing without change in function or structure. And then second one, continuing to exist despite interference. Isn't that good? Persevering prayer, to be persistent, is to continue to exist despite interference. We'll see in a second, there's a lot of interference to our prayer. Steadfastly, definition, firmly fixed in place, immovable, not subject to change. Not subject to change. Then earnest is definition, characterized by or proceeding from an intense and serious state of mind. Isn't that good? Okay, we have an intense and serious state of mind when it comes to prayer. You know, I just like to just say this, a little illustration. You know, our living Christ is sustained by our persevering in prayer. And prayer can be likened to breathing. And in the human life, as our brother brought out last night, the most basic vital sign, the most basic thing we need to live is breathing. Right? We can't go for how long, a couple minutes without breathing. We need to continuously breathe. In the same way in our Christian life, to have a life of living Christ and expressing Christ, we always need to breathe. Spiritually breathe. And the best way to breathe is to call, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. There's this verse. Lord Jesus. Lamentations 3:55. I called upon your name, O Jehovah. Amen. From the lowest pit. You have heard my voice. Do not hide your ear at my breathing, at my cry. Brothers and sisters, calling is a breathing. We need to learn to call on the Lord. And there's the aspect for sure, and I enjoy so much releasingly calling on the Lord with you all up here in the college training. But in our daily life, that is a practical way how we can continually touch the Lord, breathe the Lord, is called Lord Jesus. You could be in class, inwardly, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I love you. By simple prayer, calling, the Lord comes in His breath and gives you life. Right? And so, you know, and so this other part here, it says, to persevere in prayer is to pray without ceasing by remaining in an atmosphere of prayer. Circle that. Atmosphere of prayer. To persevere in prayer is to remain in an atmosphere of prayer. And you know, up here, isn't it so easy to pray? Isn't it easy to pray? Don't you enjoy the atmosphere here? There is a certain atmosphere. And when we're talking about when we go back down the mountain, we want to maintain this atmosphere. And this atmosphere is an atmosphere of prayer. It's so easy. You can just pray. You can just call on the Lord. You can praise the Lord. When I see a brother, it's so easy. Praise the Lord, brother. Because we're in an atmosphere of prayer. Well, the Lord's desire is that we, when we go back, we would continue in this atmosphere of prayer. That's what I hope, you know, we're looking to the Lord. The Lord will help us to not just see it, but to even help us to be brought into a kind of living where we can maintain inwardly this atmosphere of prayer, of always contacting the Lord. How about now point two? Let's read that. We Amen. So this phrase, continually exercising our spirit and then keeping ourselves intimately connected to the Lord. And that these verses in 1 Timothy 4:7-8 are very good. This is related to exercising our spirit. Right, it says, but the profane and old womanish myths refuse, and exercise yourself unto godliness. Verse 8, for bodily exercise is profitable for a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. Godliness is a living that expresses God. And here the exercise isn't the exercise of our soul, it is the exercise of our spirit. And so in relation to persevering in prayer, there is a matter of exercise. You know, I know as young people, exercising the body is a big thing, especially for brothers, exercising the body. And we appreciate it. And it profits, remember, a little, right? Just a little. And just like with any kind of exercise, physical exercise, in the beginning, it's really difficult. You know, if you've never exercised and you start exercise, you're going to be sore after doing it. And you wonder, how can I maintain this? Well, the point is that you just practice. Little by little, you keep going. Even if you don't feel like it, you keep going. And you find out that your muscles become to be stronger. If I all told you, let's go run a marathon, most of us couldn't do it. But if you were to daily train and exercise every day, just deny your feelings and run and run and run and run, eventually, I don't know if we all can make a marathon, but eventually you'll be surprised at how much stamina, how far you can run. You know, our spirit is like a muscle. We need to exercise our spiritual muscle. Our praying muscle is our spirit. And so there needs to be a view of exercising this muscle to make it strong. That our spirit would be buff. It would be strong, right? And then you'll find out that you can have longer periods of time remaining in your spirit. So there's this component, exercising. Oh Lord, exercising. Amen. And then, let me see here. There was this point about the, praise the Lord, of intimately connected to the Lord. And I just like to bring out kind of experience, and we all can relate, is, you know, don't we have this experience? You have a sweet time with the Lord. You touch the Lord in your spirit in the morning. He's so dear, so near, so lovable, so kissable. And then you begin your day. And it seems like you just, almost like you didn't even pray. Just like you turn off praying mode and now doing the day mode. And you go back to your natural life and you just go through the day. Who has that experience? And don't you feel frustrated? Right? So that is typically our experience. We pray, we contact the Lord, but there doesn't seem to be something remaining from that. And so this is what we're touching, is that we want to, that very atmosphere that you touch the Lord in the morning, we like to continue in our daily life. That we would have continual contact with the Lord constantly. And so, okay, now let's look at point three. Let's read that together. Amen. Even yeah, we need to inquire of the Lord. There is this sweet point, brothers and sisters. We need to learn to talk to the Lord, to pray to Him, converse with Him, even the smallest little things. This is a good exercise and a good practice. You know, of course, we call on the Lord. But sometimes you just say, Lord, what should I wear today? Lord, how about have breakfast with me? Lord, what do you want to eat today? Or even don't even know what to pray. Lord, I don't know what to pray, but I love you. Lord, I just open to you. Lord, right now I don't feel like praying. Or you're in a meeting right now and says, Lord, I'm tired. So say inwardly, Lord, I'm tired. All these are little contacts with the Lord. This is practical, how you can build up and exercise your spirit to remain in this atmosphere of prayer is by continually inquiring of the Lord. And there is a verse here, Joshua 9:14. It's a little bit convicting, but helpful. It says that the Gibeonites came to the Israelites. They were coming into the land, and they came in a deceptive way, as if there are people from far away, all torn clothes. And they ask if they can have a treaty with them. And then it has this little phrase that they made a decision. But it says, but they did not ask for the counsel of Jehovah. Oh, Lord. May not be our story. The Lord writes a story of our life. And Brother Ezra, he makes a decision to go to this place. But then he puts a lips. But he did not inquire the counsel of Jehovah. Oh, Lord. May we learn to ask the counsel of Jehovah. Oh Lord, what about this? Lord, I'm going to go to this website. Oh Lord, what do you feel, Lord? Right? This is kind of an exercise and practice. Okay, how about point four? As soon. Wow, did you catch that? As soon as we stop praying, we stop living Christ. When you stop praying, you stop living Christ. And so, Lord Jesus, this doesn't mean that now then we have to stop all our daily activity and now I need to continually pray. What it does mean is that we have to learn to remain in an atmosphere of prayer. Maintain a praying spirit within. When you maintain such a praying spirit, spontaneously, you will live Christ. That's what the ministry is opening to us. This is what the Lord desires. And, you know, I can testify, I'm short myself. I'm learning myself. But don't you have this experience? You go through your day, you think you're doing okay. Then all of a sudden, I don't know, someone cuts you off on the road. And you go, ah, that, da, blah, 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 you know. And you are just angry. And you may say to them, you know what? I was doing fine until that guy cut me off. No, actually, you know what? You weren't doing fine. That guy came along and exposed the fact that you were just in the flesh. That you are at that moment not living Christ. Because if you were living Christ, the guy cut you off, you probably pray for him. I have the experience. I'm with, you know, I don't know how much temper I have until I have all my children running around. And many times I get exposed that I'm not in my spirit because I react. Oh, Lord, where did that come from? But I can testify when there is the praying spirit within, touching the Lord, there isn't that kind of reaction. There's a different reaction, and that reaction is Christ. Spontaneously comes out of you, okay? Amen, Lord. May the Lord gain this in us. Okay, let's look at point B. We need to persevere in prayer because prayer involves a battle, a fight between God and Satan. Yeah, this is very good. Let's read the points. How about my brother's point one, sister's point two? Amen. And this has been brought up already. I don't need to belabor, but when we pray, we are fighting against the whole fallen universe. It is a fight to pray. And as I was considering, the reason why is the closer you get to God carrying out His economy, the more Satan resists. And so when we touch the matter of prayer, nothing gets distracted from, nothing pulls it away as much as prayer. So there is a fight with this matter of prayer. And what I just like to bring out in this is that the resistance to prayer lies not only outside of us, but within us. But within us. Our very selves are a resistance to prayer. More specifically, it's our flesh that resists our prayer. And there's this verse in Matthew 26:41. And this portion is something, right? The Lord is there and He is quite burdened. At the prayer of Gethsemane, He's about to be crucified, and He is very burdened to pray. So He brings some of His disciples, and He goes, and He says, wait here and pray. I'm going to pray. And the Lord goes, and He prays, and comes back, and the disciples are sleeping. And then He speaks a word to them, right? And He says, watch and pray, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And what amazed me is I thought that was the end of the discourse. But you know what? Even after speaking such a word, then the Lord went to pray. And He came back and the disciples are still sleeping. Then He says, pray. And He goes, does it two more times and they were still sleeping. And He says, okay, the time's come now. And I just realized what a resistance there is. When we are about to pray, we just... there's something in us that just has no strength, no heart. But you know, there is a part that's willing. And that is our spirit. Amen. We have a willing spirit. Amen. You have to stand with your willing spirit. Amen. And stand against your flesh. Your flesh within you resists the prayer, but your willing spirit is willing. And so I just like to, I'm taking care of time. I got reminded of a type or a picture in the Old Testament. I'll finish with this as hopefully just kind of some practical help or encouragement. Is, you know, this story about when the Israelites were in the wilderness and the Amalekites came and they were going to fight against Israel. And so God sent Joshua with some men to go fight. But then Moses was to go on the top of the hill and he was to pray. And Moses was supposed to raise his hands. And, right, you know that story? Let me just read a couple of these verses. Exodus 17, 11 through 12. And when Moses lifted his hand up, Israel prevailed. And when he had let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. Amalek symbolized the flesh. Israel signifies us, God's people. And here, on one hand, Moses lifting his hands is the interceding Christ in the heavens, interceding for us. But there's another aspect. Verse 12, but Moses' hands were heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Ur support his hands, one on one side and one on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And so on the aspect of the hands becoming heavy is our praying. It's us praying. And so we, in relation to persisting in prayer, is our hands get heavy. Our prayer gets heavy. It's hard to continue. Just like Moses, if I had time, I would get someone up here to raise their hands up, right? Just like Moses, and you get, his hands get heavy. His hands have to be up so that God's people can prevail. But what's going to keep his hands up? First, he needs to sit on a stone. You know what that stone signifies? Oh, amen. You guys, okay. You know, experientially, you know what that stone signifies? Is our realization in ourselves, we cannot maintain a prayer life. You got to first realize you can't do it. Don't get inspired and say, yes, I'm going to pray all the time. Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm going to pray, I'm going to pray, I'm going to pray. You will fail. In yourselves, you cannot do it. And Christ is your stone, right? He's the one who can do it. But you have to realize you can do it. That's a starting point. Then you can sit in Christ as the one who can pray. And then the other, you got Aaron, he's the priesthood. You got Ur, holding up, is the kingship. And so the priesthood is related to our spirit, right? It's connected to the Holy of Holies and the tabernacle. And so the matter of taking care of our spirit has to be exercised. Many times we're heavy in prayer because we're heavy in our spirit. What causes our spirit to be heavy? It could be many things. But one thing is the matter of our conscience. You know, if there is an offense in our conscience, it's going to be hard to pray. If we let go, if we have been offended by somebody, we let it go, you're going to find out hard to pray. Okay? So I'm just going to have to be quick. And then the other is the kingship, is our not rebelling against the Lord's kingship. Rebelling against the Lord's authority. Is our saying amen to the Lord. Amen to the Lord. You know, sisters, you're about to go shopping and there's a feeling, don't go. What do? Many times we rebel and say, well, I've still got to go. Right? Well, that little rebellion will cause your praying spirit to be heavy. You'll find out it'll be hard to pray. So practically, we need to stay under the throne. Take care of the Lord speaking by saying, amen, Lord. Amen, Lord. And then we'll find out we can maintain a praying spirit. And then the last thing is related to Ur, is he has a grandson named Belial, whatever, who took care of some of the details of the tabernacle. And the tabernacle is God's building. So our prayer needs to be aimed toward God's building. God's goal and heart's desire is His building, which today is the church, the body of Christ. So all our prayers need to be aimed in this way. Well, if we take care of these four principles, the stone, realization, we can't do it in ourselves. Priesthood, take care of our spirit. Kingship, take care of saying amen to the Lord. And then the matter of our prayer being toward God's building. Then, this is a practical help. Lord, we can maintain this kind of atmosphere of prayer and persevere in prayer. Amen. Okay. How about the focus while we transition? Amen. Read the focus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. Lord Jesus. So, you know, praise the Lord. You know, I'm just so inspired this week, you know. I want to touch on a little bit on the practical side, just to continue Scott's fellowship on persevering in prayer. But I just hope that that we see the importance of persevering in prayer, and we see the importance of a prayer life. I just want to say briefly, on the one hand, this is a matter of enjoying grace, right? The Lord's grace is poured out to us so that we can live in union with Christ. But we need to maintain this life in union with Christ. We need to maintain our enjoyment, our intake of this grace. But on the other side, we also need to realize that there is a battle, and we need to fight this battle. We need to don't be ignorant concerning this battle. You know, it was mentioned about Israel and the history when they gained their nationhood after more than 2,000 years. At that time, I believe the British were there, and when they gained their nationhood, the British left, and the day that the British left is the day that the battle began, right? Their enemies came in the very day to annihilate them, right? So, brothers and sisters, we have to realize there is a battle to gain this Christ, to enter into our allotted portion. And this matter of persevering in prayer is so important. I hope we would really aspire to be those who have a prayer life. And as Scott mentioned, there's mainly two aspects here. And that is, there's the aspect of fellowship, right? Prayer is fellowshipping with the Lord. And there's the aspect of intercession. I'd just like to maybe quiz you. I don't know how many have read the life lessons. What is the significance of prayer? Can you give a concise few words? What is the significance of prayer? What is it all about? You can guess too. Anything, huh? To contact God. Amen. That's very good. And the main significance of prayer is just to contact God, right? By exercising our spirit and to absorb God, right? This is the main significance of prayer, to contact God by using our spirit and to absorb this God. So, with this kind of view, this kind of definition of prayer, and, you know, I appreciate what our brother shared that mainly it's a matter of maintaining an atmosphere of prayer. Okay, now, regarding the practicality. Okay, praise the Lord.
Amen.
We're all here. Regarding the practicality of persevering in prayer, there's three things I want to touch. And Scott touched on the first item a little bit. And that is the rock, right, that we sit on. Saints, In Judges, I think, Judges chapter 5, when they were in war, and one of the tribes, I forget which, but it says that they they had a resolution in heart, and what else? Consider searchings of heart, right? Searchings of heart and resolutions of heart. They were in the battle, and they realized they needed to make a resolve. And, You know, and they were mighty in the battle. Saints, I hope we could make a resolution, right? Point A says, make a vow. First, when it comes to the practicality of having a prayer life, of being those who persevere in prayer, we need to make a vow.
Amen.
Right? What is a vow? Okay, I hope you're impressed. To make a vow to have a prayer life means that you give it to the Lord. Right? You sit on that rock. You realize that you can't do it. You realize you have to do it. You realize it's so necessary, and yet we can't do it in ourselves. And so we make a vow. We give it to the Lord. Because the Lord can do it in us, right? I hope we would make a vow. I hope we would see the importance that we need to be people of prayer in order to maintain the grace that the Lord has given us and to go against the tide of this age, the current that the enemy is throwing against us, right? Give it to the Lord. It would be good if we could spend time with the Lord alone, and even make a vow. And again, I say, to make a vow doesn't mean that you're determining to be perfect. To make a vow means that you've given this to the Lord. You've seen the need, and you say, Lord, you know, I call heaven and earth to witness that from this day forth, I'm going to be a man of prayer. And I know that I'm going to forget, but Lord, you remind me. This is what it means to make a vow. Okay, then, you've made a vow, right? You've given it to the Lord. Now, another practical item, okay, is that we need to have set times of prayer. Can somebody look up Psalm 55:17? Somebody look up Psalm 55:17. And somebody else look up Daniel 6:10. And when someone has it, you just stand up. We need to have set times of prayer. Okay, those of you who are up, if you have the one in Psalms, read it. Well, at least the first part, right? Evening and morning and noontime, right? That's set times, right? I contacted the Lord by complaining and moaning, right? That's okay. I mean, you know, if you're complaining and moaning to the Lord, then you're contacting Him, right? And what's the main significance of prayer? Amen. Okay. So there's a principle. Okay. No one else is standing up. Does anybody have Daniel 6:2? Amen. 10. Yes. Go ahead. Amen. 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 So, you know, in that verse, I just appreciate so much, you know, on the one hand, three times daily, and on the other hand, he had always done so previously. You know, at that point, he had come to a critical point. He was reading the Word, and he realized that the 70 years were about to be completed, right? And so he responded by praying. But saints, he had always done so previously. He had had a prayer life, so that when the need was there, it was just automatic. Oh Lord, may we be those who have a prayer life.
Amen.
You know, and regarding this matter of three times daily, I would just say, saints, we have to do this one step at a time. We're all in this together. I would say just concentrate on your morning time first, right? I think we need to get that down. Right? I mean, have you noticed that it's important? Right? We have an entire line this week on morning time. We have to get it down, saints, and build upon it. And this matter of maintaining an atmosphere of prayer, saints, it's so critical that we have a set time in order to be a kind of a way to maintain an atmosphere of prayer. If we don't have a set time, it's going to be very difficult to maintain such an atmosphere, right? It has to start with our morning time. Okay, now practically, saints, How much time do you have in a day? Yeah, good, good. We all have 24 hours, right? We all have the same amount of time. It's just how do we use the 24 hours, right? And saints, okay, this is very practical. You know, I like to impress you. Okay, I was considering. The first thing that we need to realize is what? Is that we are human beings. We are finite people, right? As a finite human being, you require rest, right? And most finite human beings require about 8 hours of rest, right? Of course, you know, we differ a little bit, but not that much. And saints, you know, we just have to realize you have to rest. So anyways, you know, in the training, in the summer training, I think it was Brother Benson, he just gave a very practical word. He said, when you're there at night, you're going to bed, just take a little bit of time before you fall asleep to consider, what does it take in order for you to get out the door? You know, what time is your class going to start? You know what time you need to leave the door to get to your class? What does it take before you can get out the door? You need to, you know how long it takes to shower and groom. You know how long it takes to fix your meal and eat it. We have to be practical, saints. Just consider how much time it takes, and then you add another 15 minutes to it, right? And that's what time you wake up. And, you know, saints, this is so practical, but I tell you, this is where it begins. We have to begin in a very practical way. And I think that we actually need help in this, you know? So I would say, I would hope we would fellowship with our companions, maybe in your group time. But anyhow, I hope that you would consider your daily life and you would work it out so that you would allot a time to the Lord in the morning. Right? We talk about giving the Lord the first place, but we have to be practical in doing that, right? Give the Lord the first place by allotting some time to Him in the morning and make it a habit to spend that time with the Lord. You know, saints, we're people of habits. Before we came to know the Lord or we came to enjoy the Lord, our life was composed of habits. And every hour of our time was filled up with one thing or another. But when, especially after this week, right? We've tasted the Lord. We've enjoyed the Lord. And we love the Lord. And now we want to give the Lord the first place, right? But practically, it comes down to allotting some time to be with Him, right? Take time to behold this wonderful One, Lord Jesus. And lastly, okay, so we said make a vow to the Lord. Then we said set aside some specific time to be with the Lord. And, you know, my time is up. I wish I could spend some time just to fellowship about what to do. But anyways, maybe I'll just say briefly, you know, I've been learning by taking the tabernacle as a kind of a picture to help me to know what to do when I'm alone with the Lord. Have you ever been alone with the Lord? Is it hard? Yeah, you know, He's invisible, right? It's hard. I mean, really, right? We need, but a little help. What do you do when you're alone with the Lord? And just, you know, the picture of the tabernacle has helped me. You know, the first thing you do at the tabernacle is you go inside it, right? And that means when you come to be with the Lord alone, you just open to Him. You just open. Just open your heart. You know, like someone said a second ago, Lord, I turn my heart to You, or at least, Lord, cause my heart to turn to You. You know, just open, right? Even use a song, you know. Do something just to open, right? That's like going through the gate of the tabernacle. You know, the tabernacle is like, not proportionate, but anyhow, you know, first you gotta, it's supposed to be square. You know, first you gotta go in, right? And this is the opening to the Lord. You know, oh Lord Jesus, I open to You. That's what this is, right? And then the first thing you see is the altar. That just means you confess. As you're opening to the Lord, He shines on you, and you just confess. Saints, there's always something to confess. And the more you just go on in the Lord, the more you read the Word, the more you fellowship with the saints, you'll begin to realize what it is that you need to confess. But anyhow, the altar is there. And you confess. That means you just take Christ. You take Him as your sin offering, your trespass offering. You committed a failure, but you're not down about it. You just say, Lord, I committed that failure, and I take You as my sin offering. Hallelujah! Amen. And then, you know, the rest of the tabernacle, you know, I'm going to be really brief, but I even got this wrong. But there's a laver, there's a showbread table, which is supposed to be up here, and there's a lampstand, you're supposed to be. But, you know, it all comes down to pray reading. When you spend time alone with the Lord, just pray read, you know. This is the water, the washing of the water in the Word. This is the bread of life, which is, you know, the every word that proceeds out of His mouth. This is the light of light, which is the Word, you know. So just use the Bible, you know. Spend your time with the Lord alone. Just muse over some of the verses. Pray. Use the Word. You're contacting the Lord, right? The point is you contact the Lord. The point is not that you do some ritual, right? Or, you know, what you think prayer reading is. The point is you contact the Lord, but you're using the Word. And then eventually you enter into the Holy of Holies. And there you have the triune God. And you have the altar. And you just enter into an intimate fellowship with the Lord, right? And as you're there, you remember that the Lord is burdened, right? That the Lord, you know, He wants to carry out His economy. And you join yourself to Him, you know? And then you pray something, you know? You pray for somebody, you know? Or you pray for some country that, you know, needs the Lord. Anyhow, this is just hopefully this helps you, right? But saints, so, you know, I've gone over the time. So it's just to do a quick review. We realize that to maintain everything that we've seen so far this week, right? To enter into Christ as our portion, we need to maintain it by our prayer life. And we also need to fight this battle, right, by prayer, by being a person of prayer. And we need to take some practical steps to have such a prayer life. By giving this matter to the Lord, you just make a vow to the Lord. You may even write that vow down and date it and sign it. And you set aside specific time that you can practice to be with the Lord as a kind of the source, you know, that you get the supply and from which you can go and maintain an atmosphere of prayer the rest of the day. And in that time alone with the Lord, you just practice to open to Him, to confess anything He would shine on, just to contact Him in the Word, and eventually join yourself to Him for His burdens. Praise the Lord.